What is driving the markets after the dramatic two-day rally? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. If you add Wednesday to Thursday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went up 709 points. This after America's interest rate policymakers seemed in no rush to raise interest rates. The Federal Reserve is watching the job market, wages, and inflation very closely. But Janet Yellen and team are also keeping an eye on a sweeping change washing through the economy, which is what, Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial?
David, it is oil. It's obviously something that will benefit some, but it will hurt others. And that's been on the market's mind a lot in the last couple of months.
Now, the Federal Reserve has been weighing this, and their models suggest what?
Well, their models suggest that on balance, this is a good thing because we import more than we export. So ultimately, it adds up to a good thing.
Which cheered up the stock market, at least, and others. But, you know, we know that the Fed is not omniscient and their models are not perfect. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking they're probably right in the long run, but the pain's going to be felt in the oil states. So what are we talking? Texas, Louisiana, Alaska, Wyoming, New Mexico, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and when capital spending is cut, the decision tends to be quick and it can be big. I think what we're likely looking at is that the entire economy is going to feel this to some extent. We will slow down hard in the beginning of next year and then probably reaccelerate after that. But the jitters you're seeing in the markets, they're legitimate. The optimism afterward, well, yeah, long run, absolutely, but we're not out of the woods yet.
All right, Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
U.S. officials are saying that they view the massive cyber attack on Sony Pictures as more than data theft or privacy invasion, but as a national security matter. That said, the U.S. government has not officially blamed North Korea, a prime suspect. The ability of the hack and the threat that followed to force a major Hollywood studio to remove a film from theaters may be a seminal moment for the hacker community itself, Nova Safo reports.
Chris Weissopel of the security firm Veracode has been monitoring hacker chatter over the Sony attack. And he says many hackers, like the authorities, are trying to see
what worked. How did you get in? How did you move around? How did you exfiltrate data? What kind of data had value?
Weissopel says hackers want to know which digital tools were used so they can adopt those tools. And he's been hearing from worried chief information security officers.
They're definitely concerned. This shows that there's attackers out there and that they are ready to go out there for blood.
The hacker mindset is often to outdo others.
Gabriella Coleman of McGill University has written a book on hackers and says the Sony attack set a new standard.
In this case, I do think that it will compel some hackers to do something similar and perhaps even more audacious.
Coleman expects there'll be more hacks aimed at sabotage, not just the leaking of information. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. There may have been no way Russia could have predicted the price of oil would plummet, crippling its oil-dependent economy. But unlike the last financial crisis in Russia, this time the country has massive cash reserves to help tide it through this mess. In this way, we can say that Russia had built in some resilience systems to cushion against the disasters that come despite our best or often flawed planning. From countries to organizations to neighborhoods, it's an idea that's influencing planners around the world. Judith Roden's new book is called The Resilience Dividend. She's president of the Rockefeller Foundation and former president of the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Roden, good morning.
Good morning, David. Great to be here.
Our track record as human beings in preparing for things before disaster actually strikes is not a good record. I mean, the thing that focuses public policy on dealing with a problem is the disaster.
crisis is the new normal, whether it's a storm or flood or a cyber attack. So the idea of the resilience dividend is the capacity to rebound more effectively in the bad times, as well as really providing great things in the good times. So building around New York a flood prevention barrier that will also have new markets and art spaces and bicycle paths that people will enjoy in the good times.
Organizations, businesses, corporations would surely like to be resilient. They don't know what the world economy is going to throw at them. I saw the argument in the book. Businesses that try to be more resilient can actually be a help to the wider community trying to be resilient.
So a great example is SAB Miller that was experiencing in Bogota, Colombia, enormously increasing water costs. And it was being caused by the upstream dairy farmers who were clearing more land for grazing. So they got together, the water utility, SAB Miller, and they actually bought higher producing, lower grazing herds for the dairy farmers. So the dairy farmers improved their practices. The water utility saved money. SAB Miller saved money, and the community thrived. That's the idea of the resilience dividend. And it's a great business concept because you're really talking about your ROI.
Judith Roden's new book is titled The Resilience Dividend, Being Strong in a World Where Things Go Wrong. She's also president of the Rockefeller Foundation. Dr. Roden, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Speaking of ROI, return on investment, her foundation just named 35 new cities that are taking resilience especially seriously in North America. That means Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, Dallas, Tulsa, Pittsburgh, and Montreal will get money to hire a chief resilience officer to work on a resilience plan, among other things. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.